You're listening to SBS News.
Fears around women's rights in the United States have entered the conversation once again as the nation approaches an election. In 2022, Roe v. Wade, a bill protecting the constitutional right to abortion, was overturned by the Supreme Court. Three of the judges behind this majority decision were appointed by former President Donald Trump during his presidency. Meanwhile, Trump has frequently been condemned for his behaviour against women, with a 27th woman recently coming forward with allegations of sexual abuse. I'm Katrina Stirrett, and in this episode of Weekend One-on-One, I speak with US sex worker Amelia Lynn. Amelia says while she will place her vote behind Kamala Harris, there are also questions around what her presidency might mean for sex workers in the country. So, Amelia, as a sex worker and OnlyFans creator, who will you be putting your vote behind in the US election?
I will be putting my vote behind Kamala Harris. I do come from Texas, which is historically very much a Trump-supporting red state. But due to Project 2025, I will be voting for Kamala.
And I'll speak to you about Project 2025 in a minute, but I'm just interested to hear, you know, you're going to put your vote behind Kamala, but I know you also noted that she has really advocated for this bill called Foster Sesta. Could you explain for our predominantly Australian audience what this is and why it also means that even though you are putting your vote behind Harris, you do have concerns for what her presidency might mean?
Yeah, so Foster Sesta was actually already passed. It was passed under Trump's presidency in 2019, I believe, but one of the main supporters for this bill was, in fact, Kamala Harris. And before Foster Sesta was passed, there was a small clause in, it's the Digital Something Act, that pretty much didn't hold any sites liable for prostitution that was going on the sites. So pages like Backpage were not held liable for any sort of trafficking charges that happened on their sites, or sites like Craigslist is a great example. They weren't held liable if someone was being prostituted or trafficked on their site. But now with Foster Sesta, those sites are now held liable, which is one of the reasons why Backpage did get shut down. Eros, the call center was raided, something of the sort, and Craigslist stopped advertising sexual services on their site, because now they're being held accountable. And while this bill was being passed, Backpage was actually working to not get shut down by this bill. Like, they started taking certain words off of their site. Like, Lolita is a great one. That was a word that was being used to indicate like young or underage girls. And so they stopped allowing the word Lolita, or certain sites, they don't allow words like bare blowjob or any sort of sexual terms because of Foster Sesta. But when Foster Sesta did come into place, it's very hard to find exact like details and statistics on how it actually affected sex workers and trafficking as a whole, because I honestly feel like the government doesn't really put a lot of effort into actually trying to combat trafficking and like making sex work actually safe, because it's something that's going to happen regardless whether it's legal or illegal. And we've seen that over all of history. Like, when Foster Sesta did get passed, there's a few websites, and from just the sex workers I've talked to in general, they've said that there are a lot of girls that had to go back to the streets, and they were actively harmed in like the first month that it was passed, and it became a lot more dangerous. But as anything does, sex workers evolved. There were new platforms that were created that they ended up going to. And there are some girls that were trafficked that said that it helped them get out of trafficking. But there's a lot of girls that went back to trafficking because now they can't work out of their own safety of their home. Because when you're on a website or like an ad site, you're able to ask for their ID. You have your phone in place of it, versus if you're on the street, you're just getting in a random stranger's car.
So you feel that while they say they were making an attempt to stop trafficking and other unsafe practices,
you feel as though it actually had the detrimental effect of making it more unsafe for sex workers?
Yes, I would say that.
And are you concerned that under Harris's presidency, there will be even more rights stripped back for sex workers, or are you just concerned that things won't get better? I guess, where do you sort of see that going?
So I'm not as much concerned of Harrison presidency trying to take away rights for sex workers because I think with sex work in general, it's a topic that US politicians sway in favor of whatever other people are thinking. Like it just depends on what's going on. I'm really curious to see how it plays out in the next year because if you're not following like US celebrity politics, right now, P. Diddy is getting busted for countless like sex trafficking scandals. On top of that, Tyler Perry just got busted this week. And then the CEO of Abercrombie and Finch also got arrested for trafficking and prostitution charges just yesterday. And so I'm interested to see how that plays out with even more trafficking being uncovered and if they're going to be taking any further action. Because I wouldn't say that I'm more worried about like Kamala or Trump in the sense of sex work. I'm more worried about Trump in the sense of women's rights.
Yeah, and you do talk about obviously concerns around Trump's stance on women's rights and bodily autonomy, and you mentioned Project 2025. Could you guys give us a brief overview of what this means for women's rights, or what this could mean for women's rights over their own body, especially, for sex workers, but also around issues like abortion?
Yeah, so Project 2025 is, I forget how many pages it is. I think it's like 800 or 900 pages. And it was written by the National Heritage Foundation. And half of the members of the National Heritage Foundation are from Trump's cabinet. And the main man who wrote Project 2025, he actually recently endorsed Kamala because he believes that Kamala's fiscal policies, they better relate to what Project 2025's documents are, or values are, I guess. And in Project 2025, Trump's name is stated 321 times in the document, and yet he still claims to have no idea what the document is. And the Heritage Foundation that backs up Project 2025, like I just said, half of them are on Trump's cabinet. So to say that Trump isn't connected is actually crazy because he's obviously in that document and it's meant Project 2025 for Trump to be the president. So in Project 2025, there's a lot of different ideas that are being spewed around, like getting rid of the Board of Education. They want to get rid of the Department of Education. So they don't want regular schools in the US anymore. Another point in it is they want to ban all types of porn, which I personally believe is a First Amendment right here in the US. Like we have our amendments, and the First Amendment right is like right to free speech. And then in a few states in the US have already banned it, and you have to use a VPN when you're there. I live in Pennsylvania right now, originally from Texas. Texas is banned. Pennsylvania, it's not. And then the scariest one I would say is abortion. So they're planning to ban abortion and make it illegal for any woman to get abortion, which is literally stripping a woman of their bodily autonomy. Like the thought of a 9-year-old getting raped and having to have this child and raise a child, like no 9-year-old should have to go through that and then have to have the kid right after and raise them, like without a choice, or a woman who's having an ectopic pregnancy, a pregnancy where they could die, like they can't get an abortion for that. They have to go through a possibly harmful death.
So I guess in terms of fears you might have around being able to support yourself financially with this work, if either leader, one of them is going to become the next president, and neither of them sound like they're, in your opinion, serving, I guess, your community, are you concerned financially as well as in terms of safety?
I am. I'm worried about safety constantly because I do actively post about politics on social media. So I get worried about someone possibly going after either my real identity or going after my family or even harming me in person work because of my beliefs. Like, I saw a client the other night and he showed up and had the Confederate flag tattooed on one rib and the American flag on the other. And it was very, very calm for the most part until the last 10 minutes, where we started getting into a discussion about politics. And I was honestly scared, because I don't want to get into a heated argument with anyone, especially when it's late at night when they've been drinking. But it's scary because you don't know how they're going to react. And Trump supporters have proven that they're violent individuals. Like, they raided the Capitol. And I don't know how he would have reacted in that situation, whether he had a gun and he was willing to pull it out. Like, I do support gun rights and I'm not very nervous around guns, but it's like when I'm in that situation, I would get nervous. I get worried about porn being banned because a primary source of my income is from OnlyFans. I get very worried about like where that income stream is going to go. And there are so many people out there that are like, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, it's not a huge deal. OnlyFans has contributed billions to the GDP, especially in the United States. I think they did like $1 billion in US GDP, or for the US GDP last year. And it's just been increasing exponentially. Like, it has been growing at crazy rates over the past few years, not just like a couple million here and there. I think it went from like 500 million to like 1 billion the next year, which is a huge jump for any company. So I get really nervous about my income and also how it could potentially affect the economy. I've talked about this in my other videos before, but there's so many jobs out there that people don't realize are connected to OnlyFans and sex workers. Because for me, I've hired people to do my makeup, I've hired photographers, I've hired video editors. Like, there's video editors on Fiverr that focus specifically for like OFTV videos or specifically for sex workers. And without having this job with porn, like, you're getting rid of so many other jobs in the industry that people don't even realize are jobs that they would consider real jobs. Like, people consider a video editor a real job, but they wouldn't consider an OnlyFans girl a real job. But like, OnlyFans creators and porn, or I should say, like, people in the porn industry in general, there's so many other jobs that are created from just porn.
I hope you don't mind me
Okay.
jumping in there, but I was just going to say that's really interesting. You talk about the whole big business circle of looking at it in that way. Why do you think, there is still this reluctancy to accept sex work in 2024 as work and OnlyFans as a space for that when, as you mentioned, it is this huge business and as you say, the jobs linked to it can be considered valid, but then OnlyFans creator themselves is sort of dismissed or, I guess, undermined as a job.
So I find it more undermined as a job from women rather than men, to be completely honest. That's been my experience. And I think it comes from a sense of insecurity that women are insecure about other women's bodies, or like, there is a power that comes with being an OnlyFans creator. Like, you're, I don't want to say manipulating men, but you're like seducing men. And that's a power in its own. Like, the art of seduction, like, being a seducer is a power and you do have control as it. And for another woman who doesn't have as much control over their seduction or like personal confidence, to see someone else doing that, it makes them very nervous, or to make money off of their looks. Like, I know it's a bit different in Australia and New Zealand. Like, y'all have the tall poppy syndrome thing. But in the United States, it's very much the opposite. Like, people talk about how much they make a year and what their salary is, like, in first conversations kind of thing. And so it makes people really nervous and almost like ashamed that they're not doing as well. And so I think it's kind of a sense of deflection that they can be like, oh, well, they're just selling their body. They're not working as hard. But the truth is like, I may not have gone to school for as many years as a doctor, but I'm still working hard. I definitely don't have the same degree as a doctor or like the same status of a doctor, but I'm still working as many hours as them. I'm still putting in my own effort. It's just unseen. And like, I don't owe it to anyone to show them how much effort I am putting in, but I do work like 80 hours a week and I do put in a lot. to my job. And now we are getting to that point where like people are talking about it. Like Beyoncé mentioned OnlyFans in her song, which is a crazy step forward in the right direction because you wouldn't have seen that a few years ago.
I guess just finally, are you really concerned about US politics in general or where the US is heading when it comes to women's rights, especially around issues for sex workers and making practices safe and accessible, but as well as abortion, as you mentioned?
I really am. I'm very much worried about women's rights in the United States. Like, I don't know how it is over in Australia, but for us here, women weren't allowed to divorce their husbands without cause until 2011, I think. That's when it became legal in like all 50 states. We weren't allowed to open like business entities on our own without a man's signature until like the early 2000s. For all 50 states again. And then we couldn't get our own credit cards, our own bank accounts until the 80s. You know, that's like only about 40 years ago. Like we're slowly getting our rights. We haven't, I think we're at a good point in like getting our rights right now. Like I do think we have a good amount of them compared to other countries, but we only got these certain rights like only so long ago. And there are so many people out there that are thinking like, oh, we won't have these rights taken away. But it's like we saw Roe v. Wade overturned just a few years ago, and they said the exact same thing about that. So what's stopping them from passing another bill that takes away our right to open a bank account, like own our own business, or even vote, possibly?
Thank you so much for sharing all your thoughts and perspective on this as we approach the US election.
Of course, I'm glad I could share my thoughts on it.